Hello, I'm Tim R., and I'm an alcoholic. It's my pleasure to present the memorial service for James Hunley, which occurred today, December 13th, 2015, at 2 p.m. at the NABBA Club. James Hunley was quite a man. He is honored by family and friends. I'm going to have to call him Mr. Big Sunshine. He held the Sunshine Chair position at NABBA for quite a long time. I can tell you that there wasn't a person who didn't set foot into NABBA that he didn't call on when they were in the hospital having surgery. He represented NABBA at various funerals. He was just a tireless servant at NABBA. And you'll hear about how much more that he did with the Salvation Army and his work with the state of Georgia. He was a very unique individual, very compassionate, even transcendental. I would like to say that James Hunley is a man who knew peace, and he has now become a pure expression of God's love. Listen and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Terry. I'm an alcoholic. And we're all here to celebrate James' life, James Hunley. I met James 14, 15 years ago. It was at a dance, a NABBA dance, which we don't have anymore. And he won first prize in the costume contest. And what Jennifer did was painted him up like the Joker, you know, and that was on Halloween, matter of fact. And we had that dance, and I sponsored James for 14 years. He was a lot different than I was. He taught me a lot about love, understanding, helping others. Even though I sponsored him, he's the one who taught me. And that's what I remember about him most. After we went through the steps, we sort of fell apart. And then when he got his first cancer, we started getting back in touch with each other. And he whipped out. You know, he got cancer 3 times, I believe it was. And each time that brought us to get closer together. You know, especially this last time. We used to sit out here after the 11 o'clock meeting and talk every day when we were both at the meetings at the same time. And he told me, he says, I got this cancer whipped this time. He says, they can't find any, no trace of it in me. That's when he come back from Mexico. And Dave pointed out it wasn't the cancer that beat him. It was the aneurysm that he had. I was real fortunate to have him in my life. So, and I'm not used to doing these things. I'm glad I don't have to do too many of them. We got James Hunley's son. His name's James Hunley. And he's going to do the eulogy for James. Calvin's going to do the reflection of the videos from Calvin. And then Luke's going to do... his grandson's going to talk about his grandfather. So I'm going to open up with James here.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm James, James's son. I know one thing's for sure. NABBA was a blessing for my dad. And I know kind of like what he was saying too, about halfway through his life, he really started reading the Bible and other books and sharing with people. And he liked to help people, encourage people, and try to guide them in a positive way. Great guy. Let's see. The Lord is our light and salvation. Whom should we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom should we be afraid? Amen. Let's see. What else was I going to say? I just want to thank all of y'all for supporting my dad. And I'm going to miss him.
My name's Calvin, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Calvin.
No, it's not an AA meeting or memorial, but James is very close to me, too. I'm Jennifer's fiance. And I'm going to show a reflection of some videos that the family, so y'all get a chance to know James' family. Thank you. Good job, Calvin. How about you, Luke?
Hey, everyone. I'm Lucas, and I'm an alcoholic, too.
Hi, Lucas.
And I'm younger and more technological, so I wrote this on my phone. But I'll just read it off, so it is kind of scripted. But hello, everyone. My name is Lucas Vandercook, and James Hunley Sr. is my grandfather. But the family, we call him Papa. I'd like to thank everyone for being here today and for showing so much care and support in the remembrance of my Papa. Thank you. If I had to describe the summation of Papa's life in one word, it would undoubtedly be gratitude. It is one of his favorite subjects at meetings and one of his favorite ways of reminding me that things could be better or worse, but to be content with the now. Once upon a time during my stay with Papa, I can recall going to this meeting at the Triangle with our buddy Steve on Sundays at 1:30. It's an 11-step meeting, and it's a very special gathering because you actually take 5 minutes of silent meditation to ground yourself for the meeting. And I would like to say there was still air and complete silence, but I could always hear people focusing on breathing, especially my Papa, inhaling and exhaling deeply in this type of manner. Because all that know him know that meditation was his thing. Before we meditated, though, we would recite the third step prayer, which I would like for all those who know it
to join in with me now. It goes as, God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help with Thy prayer, the love, and way of life. May I do Thy will always. That wasn't all the way together, but it was good. Thank you. But for real, wow. See all these faces and family and friends. You know, Naba, this is like second home to him. I can really see what he was grateful for, looking out at y'all. In conclusion, I wrote a little poem, just a little something sweet to celebrate my papa's life. And it goes like this. I only hope that some of him has rubbed off on me, and that I will grow to be just as great as man as he. Time will tell, and others will see, just maybe I can live by his philosophy. Gratitude is the best attitude, and even though he is in a higher altitude, his words today still speak truth. He was my papa, my friend, and my mentor. I wish I can look up and see him coming through that door, sit in that chair, and share some more. Oh, I forgot. He's sharing right now. Part of him is in me, in you, and all around. Thank you, higher power, for having kept him on ground. Alas, another saying, the heavens has been crowned. So, that was just a little ode to my papa. But at this moment, I would like to open the floor for all who wish to share about James, my grandpa, my papa, as they wish. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Mary. And I'm going to try to get through this, but Luke, I just want to say that what you said just really touched my heart. It really did. But anyway, I'm a friend of James. I only know James not even a year, but we spent a lot of good times together, a lot of fun times together, and his energy was just incredibly amazing to me. I think the first thing he would ever say to me when we would talk, besides just hello and this little spiritual thing he would say, but he would always ask about me, how I feel, how do you feel? Oh, I'm good. I slept pretty good last night. Oh, blah blah. You know, that kind of thing. But in comparison to what James was going through, James just never complained. And James was always just so sweet and polite and so wonderful when it came to you know, anybody who's ever had a bad time. You know, that's something you will certainly complain about if given an opportunity. So I tried not to complain that much because James never complained. That I miss him a lot. That I miss him a lot. We all have losses in our lives. And over a significant loss that I had in my life a number of years ago, I read the book called On Death and Dying. I was always looking for some help, some answers, just some understanding about, you know, of just about the loss. But one of the most beautiful poems, and the poem goes like this: Let me not pray to be sheltered from dangers, but to be fearless in facing them. Let me not beg for the stilling of my pain, but for the heart to conquer it. Let me not look for allies in life's battlefield, but to my own strength. Let me not crave an anxious fear to be saved, but hope for the patience to win my freedom. Grant me that I may not be a coward, feeling your mercy in my success alone, but let me find the grasp of your hand in my failure.
My name's Charles. I'm deaf and alcoholic.
Hey, Charles.
And y'all notice I got a deep voice, but I got to stand back. Around all over the place. You know, James was something special in my life. You know, one day at a time, I got 6 years clean, and I met James, I think it was 2010, at the 1:30 meeting, meditation meeting down at Triangle. And every time I go out to smoke, well, matter of fact, James would get up first and go out to smoke. He had another buddy that be with him. They'll go out and smoke, and I'll come right behind him. But our relationship developed like, you know, I always had problems. I'm not going to lie. But when I got problems, I got my special people who I talked to. And James was the type of person that he was very humble. Charles, you okay? Take it easy now. And, you know, I used to go down there off Peace Street, down there and talk to him. But just like my father, you know, you okay today, Charles? We sit there, talk for a while. Just take care of yourself, Charles. Remember not to drink. And I remember he told me, said he was going out there to Mexico. And he said, I can't get no call. But Big Guy Charles going to try to call anyway, you know. And but he came back, you know. But every year around October, since I've been clean, I goes up to North Carolina to see my grandkids. And I usually come back in January. But this year, I had a short visit. And I was telling someone, the other night, I said around about 5:30, I was heading, I know why I was heading over there. And I didn't go over there because of the traffic. Coming up Peace Street, going this way on Peace Street, is sick. So something told me, I'll see him some other time. So I have to come by here either the next day. And someone, 8 o'clock, at the 8 o'clock meeting, was having to look up on the board, and I was in the bathroom, I stopped, and I looked. I said, hey, another memorial. And I looked, it was James. And it really bothered me and hurt me. But I know he's in a better place now. And all the things I heard, what previous that the people said before I spoke, saying the thing, that's true. He was the type of person. And I don't trust a lot of people. I'm serious. I don't trust a lot of people around the age. But I definitely talk about if I want to pick up a drink and tell y'all. But deep person things, I can go to him and talk about and stay right there, you know. But he's going to be a friend that be missing. Thank y'all.
Hi, my name is Lisa. And I don't want to feel sad because James just represented, I'm very sad because I miss him, but James represented to me just such a humble, beautiful, welcoming, all-inclusive, just everything I would like to be, everything I would like to emulate. And he used to help me here. I used to do the dances that I loved doing. And he used to quietly volunteer downstairs in the kitchen, you know, no pomp, no talking about it. He was always there helping every time, like about 8 times a year for 2 years. And just overall the years, just such a beautiful, beautiful, pleasant spirit, and I want to be like him. I want to be more like him, and I love you, Jennifer and Lucas, and I'm here for you, you know, all the time after the memorial. So thank you for letting me speak.
My name is Isla. I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to be sober here today. And I'm grateful to know James Hunley. I didn't know him, like, outside the meetings, except I might run into him at the grocery store or Walmart or something. But I always felt happier and just safer and more comfortable every time I would see him walk into the room. He was such a gentleman, And I mean that in the real meaning of the word. He was a gentle man. And his spirit, he never missed an opportunity to let us know how much he loved us. You said so much, Lucas, in your, especially your poem. That was just absolutely wonderful. And I'm not surprised to find that everybody in the room feels the same way that I do, that he had an innate ability to let you know, hey, I'm on your side, you know, no matter what, I'm on your side. And that was a gift. That was just a gift from God that he had. What I'm mostly going to miss, James and I loved the same books. And there was one in particular that we never tired of talking about. And he would always bring it up in a meeting, not the book, but he would always get us back to this present little instant. And he would talk about the subject, whatever it might be, and then he would somehow get it back into our consciousness right now. Right now, at this instant, I feel good. And I feel grateful. And mostly, I mean, I'm going to miss a lot of things about him, but just his spirit. And I'm sitting here wishing that I, standing here wishing that I had brought a copy of that. There's an Indian prayer that I'm not even going to try to recite, but I wish that I had brought it. But basically it says, do not stand at my grave and weep. I did not die. I am not asleep. You will see me in the stars and the sunlight in the fields. I can't do it, but that's what I think about. I think about him. He will be with us eternally. And there was a our friend Sally. Thank you. Is Sally here today? No. But Sally said on Facebook, and she told the truth. She said on Facebook, talking about James, she said, well, I'm not sure where he is, but I'll bet he's delighted to be there. Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning, family. My name is Jenny, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Jenny.
I cannot express everything like our dear friend Isla does, but yes, I understand that Indian prayer that you were reading, and I think of James. I had the privilege to become acquainted with him at the Veterans Administration Hospital when I was simply doing radiology. And there were times that he would come in, and I knew he was in a lot of pain. He never complained, never did. And then later on, I didn't realize this, but I came into the program in 1987. I've had a couple of relapses, okay, so I'm no saint here. I'm trying to grow spiritually. He taught me to be patient and loving with myself. And sometimes I forget that. I could talk to him about anything, and I did. He never judged me. Sometimes we would just kneel down and say the third step prayer, which is powerful in my life. And I feel so blessed that I had the privilege of knowing him. And I know he's in a much better place. Do we miss him here? Sure do. Yes, we do. Sometimes he would sit next to me with his little wheelie deal. And even though he was wearing the mask, sometimes outside, he'd say, just give me a hug. And I did. But if I could just grow with positive emotion every day, I would be so much better off. But I struggle with that. I'm an Eeyore or a Scrooge. And I have to remember what James told me. Be in the moment. And if I can do that, I think I can stay sober one day at a time, as long as I commit myself to this program that he loved. And we loved him, and God bless him, and he's in a better place. Hey!
I'm Eva, I'm an alcoholic. This lectern's almost as tall as I am. Anyway, I remember when I was recovering from the swine flu and double pneumonia and couldn't get out by myself, and the kindness that he showed in taking me to meetings. And he was always there. There were situations that would come up that would involve people that he was close to, both. And the one thing I want to learn from him is that through those times he never took anybody's side. He was just there with you, or he was just there with the other person, but he never took sides, or he was always there, and he was never judgmental towards me in the periods of time in my relapse. And I'm grateful to be sober today, and I'm grateful that I was able to return the favor of the days that he began to call me and ask me to take him to meetings. And we would go to meetings together. And the Indian flute and meditation music made me feel almost as if I was in his apartment. Because whenever I came to his apartment, that music was playing. He always had a sense of humor about things that were going on with him and about life. And thanks for letting me share. And you'll always be remembered, and you always are remembered, James.
Hi, my name's Brian. I'm powerless over alcohol.
Hey, Brian.
James, was James here after Robert? I think he followed Robert.
Yeah.
And then James, I just remember, you know, I never really got into James' life about the good person that he was. I just assumed he was a good guy. And so he and I and Mike Holland, let him rest in peace, both. Maybe they're going to meet each other. We would, we'd be downstairs shooting pool at 2 o'clock in the morning, the three of us. So we did it many nights. And just the three of us, and James was head of this place, kept the place locked up. Well, he'd only lock it up, and then when we came to the door, anyway. So we'd shoot pool and for hours, and we did it just about every night. Then he got this job with the state, he said, and somebody left there.
I'm just leaving.
He got this job with the state, and what he did was, he says, I'm helping others. I said, oh, you are? And he says, yeah. And I says, You think you got enough experience? Well, I don't know. I think so. I went to this school and I learned how to do this stuff and counsel and do this and that. I said, well, you're the right man to do it. And with that, he'll do it wherever he goes. Thank you.
Hi, friend. My name is John. And
hey, John.
I want to thank God for another day for that. I'm truly grateful. And I thank God for letting me have people in my life like James. Terry was talking about when he met him like 14 years ago. When we used to stay in the same place, we used to stay in Harry House. When he got out of turnaround, he came over there with us. And that's how I met him. And then I think Kelly was his running buddy. And me and Kelly were roommates. And I'm glad I had James, boy, because me and Kelly were and I'm sitting and I'm thinking, and the last time I saw James was the other fellowship. We had a Halloween dance. And James came in, and that was even when we got to hug and talk, and that was the last time in that sense I got there. Because I believe that it's like my son, the spirit never dies. I go to that meeting every Friday night, and I'd be looking over where James used to park his car, and I remember James ain't going to be here tonight. Well, he's still going to be there, but he's just not going to be in that form I'm used to seeing him in. You know, I remember I had to go to the doctor. I called James. James said, I got you. James come pick me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to be there at 6. He picked me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I know this man is going to get cancer treatments and all this stuff, but he take me over to the hospital. And I said, well, you don't have to stay because I know you need to, you know. And I said, I'm just going to give him your number. And when I come out, because it was at an ambulatory, you know, where they keep you in. I called him and I got out. When I woke up, I said, call him. They said, okay, we'll call him. And when they turned me loose, James was sitting there waiting on me. You know, he had to go to BA. He asked me, can you take me? Hey, man, you know, that was that type of relationship we had. I remember we used to go to that meeting I'm talking about. And we leave there, and Lucas was working at the Kroger's down the street. And we all meet down at the Kroger's and mess with Lucas because he was working night shifts over there. I always think how grateful God is that all this stuff, that, I mean, you know, we all got stories, but to put us in a place where we meet these people that we got lifetime memories of, man, it's a blessing. I mean, you know, it is not an AA meeting, it is not one of those, but the thing about it is to do what we did and then have people in our lives that we can associate with and they bring the best out in us. You know, because when I was doing what I was doing, you wasn't bringing the breast out of me. I mean, you know, but I'm going to share this. I was a program committee chair, and we were in Augusta last year, I think, and I asked James to do, because I know he liked meditation. So I asked him to do meditation, because I know he did this way he worked at. He did a group and stuff, and that's the first time I ever seen a meditation done like James did. You know, he read to something, and he said, we're going to meditate for 10 minutes. Man, I ain't never seen nobody just sit there. And we just sat there. And then he went around the room and asked you what you were thinking about. And I got a different perspective on meditation from that, you know. And see, no things like that you don't look at. And I know he, every Saturday morning, I said, well, I'm going to see you at Nav in the morning. No, I got to go. He had to go do this, whatever he did. I mean, I didn't get into that. I know he was some kind of counselor. Then on Mondays, he'd go pick up a little check or something, he said, or two, because he had to pick up the money fund. It must have been a state-run fund, because he said he was getting the money to turn in. Then they'd pay him out of that or something like that. But I know it worked, because it worked for him, you know. But I don't look sad on James, because I know we all going to get an eviction notice. And I remember James coming, leaving the VA, coming to the meeting and telling me, well, he had to get treatment, but he okay. Because he always okay right now. And that's where I get that from. That you got to be okay right now. It don't matter what you're going through. If you're here, you're okay right now. Like you were saying, you know. And he always had some book he read that he was going to quote you something out of it. And it was mostly inspiration stuff to let you know that whatever you're going through is always okay, you know. I don't know. I'm just grateful that I had I still got James. And I never lose James because he's a spirit. You know, so thank you.
My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm glad to be today here sober. I just came from an audition, an acting audition. And I remember they having James from over here, so I stopped in here. I met James in 1998. I went into Turnaround, and there he was. He had a polo cap on. And I started coming to Navarre, and I saw him, you know, stick around, you know. And I used to see him other places, too. I was wondering why, where he was at this place before. James, you know, embodied this program, and he worked with other people, you know. He caught on like I caught on, you know. It's important for us to tell, give our experience, strength, and hope. He sponsored this guy named Steve. I don't know. I haven't seen Steve in a long time anymore. But years ago, Steve was a helpless drunk. And I watched him get better. James would work with him. And I was like, wow, you know. I really started paying attention, you know, and around here. But it wasn't an easy task for me to get sober here. Every time someone leave from here, a piece of me go too, you know, allow me to, you know, be grateful for my sobriety and give back. So, thanks for letting me share.
Oh, well. My name's David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
You know, I've listened to everybody else, and so many things spinning through my head. You know, if I was going to get up and say something, what would I say? It's too much, man. It's just too much. And to be honest with you, it's like he dropped out of the sky when I first met him. And he blindsided me. I said, okay, and who are you? And, no, seriously. He said, I want to help you. I said, okay, and who are you? You know, but seriously. Someone said he never complains. Never, never, never. I've got my own problem. I'm always complaining. You know, something in life soured me, but he wouldn't complain about anything. Zero. You know, and he always, always uplifted. You know, I'd tell him something, he said, no, no, no. He said, just like someone else said also, stay in the moment. Stay here. Stay where you're at. You know. But tell you a really cool story. This is my family. Even though I don't come around my family much, this is my family because I went to Alabama. To where some earth people live. And they tried to corner me up and keep me out. I became their prisoner. You know, once I ran out of money and this, and they said, oh, we got something you can do, about 40 acres worth of spot. So I called James. He said, give me a minute, I'll get you home. And within 3 days, I was back in Atlanta. Not that I've lived up to anybody's expectations, especially James, but no matter what, win, lose, or draw, he was always on your side. He would always help you. He didn't judge you. And no matter what, he would always, always help you. And he hasn't gone anywhere. There's a fine line between spirituality and this human body we walk around in. He's still right here with us. And cancer did not beat him. He said it wouldn't, and it didn't. Thank you.
I'm Tommy. I'm an alcoholic. Hello, Bright Spots. How's everybody doing? You know, they say that frequent contact with each other and the newcomers are the bright spot of our lives. Yes?
Yes.
And James was definitely a bright spot.
Yes.
See, that nicely I tied that together. And to the family and everybody else, you know. I came to know James through this great intersection of time, space, and spirit we call NABA. And it's a very wonderful thing. If you think about it, you know, just within my life, this intersection that, you know, we would have never got to interact, exist, or anything else without this space. And it's a very beautiful space. And I know James through the 545 How It Works group. And so the context of my discussion will be around that. And the thing about James that resonated with me is that James was deep. Can I get an amen? And you hear everybody talk, and then they talk about the spiritual aspect that he often brought to the table and within his discussions. Even when he talked about staying in the moment and being, in the immediate and in the now, but he was also transcendental. You know, and that's how I knew it. Because you can't talk about deep stuff to everybody, you know. Everybody kind of trails along, this kind of stuff. But real transcendental things, you know, which go beyond time, space, and this thing we call life, you know, he was connected to, which is a very beautiful thing. And I'm glad to know him, and that, we can connect on that level. We can talk about the steps and talk about this, that, and the other, but there's a certain knowing, you know, that goes on, that certainly as we are sober, there's something else out there. You know, whatever it is, it's out there. And it's a very beautiful thing. And he often brought that to the table. So to the family and to all friends and others in the fellowship, you know, his spirit lives on. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Quarter body, Doug Quarter, alcoholic.
Hi, Doug.
Keep this short. You know, this is a program of honesty. And I'd be less than honest to say that my heart's not heavy right now, because it is kind of heavy. It's been heavy the last couple months. I have a situation with my mother, trying to get her into a nursing home as we speak. And then, of course, with James passing, further saddened my heart. I've known James since 1998 when I first came here. And then I sadly got a call yesterday from Trish Sheffield, and found out one of James and my friends from the early days in the smoking room, Joe Brown, is soon to join James in the meeting in the sky. So, but you know what? I came in here and I feel better because I'm around all your friends, all my sober friends, and what a kind man! he epitomized kindness to the nth degree to me. Never saw him angry. Never saw him cuss, swear, yell. Maybe you did. I'm not sure. But around me, he was just calm, cool, collected, and giving. And of course, his service work here at NABA, in my experience, is now going to be legendary as caretaker and help in the kitchen. His sponsorship around here, I've witnessed. He gave of himself. That's tough to do when you have the cancer that he had, and I remain amazed that when I visited him in the VA with the leukemia, and we all thought he was gone, and I go into his room, and he's smiling, watching TV, eating Jell-O, just an amazing man. I think it was a soldier in him. He's a fighter to the very end, as we all know when he took his trip to Mexico. Perseverance is what I got from James. 10th step. Persevered in just about everything that I witnessed him do. In AA, and as I later found out more about his life with his family and friends, his work, he gave of himself, a truly selfless individual. I am honored to have known him.
Good afternoon. My name is Larry, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Larry.
And what I do professionally, James counseled people who were in tremendous turmoil. Their lives were typically in chaos. Throughout his time with working with us, invariably brought a sense of warmth, compassion that simply knew no bounds. And he was able to take the anger and the frustration and the difficulties that people so often experience when they first come in. And he was able to assist people in channeling those difficult times into a sense of hope, a sense of sharing, and flickers of enjoyment for the future. If there was one man that I've ever known all my years in this program who practiced that 12th step every day that he lived and every individual that he met. He gave life. He gave a real sense of renewal to many, many, many people who had lost both of those things. He never preached. And all the work he ever did, he never ever preached. He just simply shared, supported, and was with people as they struggled with this new beginning. He practiced humility as no one I've ever known. I had the honor and the pleasure of knowing him for years on end. He brought new life to many, many people who otherwise, I don't believe, would have known it. I would just like to say that to the family, I'd like all of you to know fully how much he meant to me and to those who came through our doors. He gave people a sense of peace, a sense of new life, and for that, I am forever grateful. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Terry Malcolic.
Hey, Terry.
James and I were sitting out here right before I went out of town. I mean, the 8th. I went out of town on the 6th. And we were talking and about life and death. A lot of our talks were directed in that way in the last couple months, you know, and we were talking. He says, you know, I'm really ready. He says, all my business has been taken care of. You know, he says, the only worries I have are my grandson, my daughter, and my family. And he says that he won't be there to take care of you guys because he's always been there for you. This recovery thing is not easy. And when it comes to not drinking and using. But this is what you get from people in a program of Alcoholics Anonymous is love. You know, you get to change your whole life, and James changed his whole life and his outlook, you know. And he become, I just wanted to say that to you kids over there, you know, that, you know, even though he's gone, he's not, he's still worrying about you. He wants the best in your life for yourselves. And you guys were his worry. So I just want to let you know that, you know. And he lived for you guys. Once he got sober, you know, it was all about his family. So I just wanted to put that down. And anybody else want to say anything before we close?
How about the USS
Hunley?
Yeah.
Well, tell them. Shove up here.
But Dave always said, I love you and the damn thing you do about it.
All right, just close in the usual manner. You know, just have a circle.
David, you want to close for us?
Oh, yes. Just a little
prayer.
Yeah. Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What a good job! What a good job, but you did it well.
While others live in high,
a big piece of the pie. So many thank God it rose. As for me, when I wanted too much, ain't never enough. I know how it is to live and die, always fearing that I'm gonna run out. Keep the good stuff to myself, hide it from everyone else, save it for a rainy day. If you wanna have it all the time, gotta give it. Thank you.